The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, I'm Parker Romain.
And I'm George Chen. And you're listening to SupDoc, a show where we review and recommend documentaries.
We sure do. This is our year-in-review wrap-up episode. We take a look back at some of the docs that were great and not so great in 2022.
Yeah, this has been... I think I've been watching the not-so-great ones. This is the problem. I've seen a lot of bad ones this year. But let's talk about ones we like. I think this is like a good time to talk about ones that we liked.
Yeah.
And also, just the... We did a lot of music ones this year. I feel like I've done a ton of music ones.
Yeah, there were. There seemed like there were some music ones that were done. It's there's been some great music documentaries that came out. Let's just jump into it. Let's start with Moon Age Dream, then.
Oh, yeah. Moon Age Daydream. This is our buddy, Brett Morgan. I say our buddy, like we've met him one time. And we, you know, he's made some of our favorite documentaries.
He sure has.
This is not one of mine, unfortunately. I gotta say.
Yeah, mine either. And it sucks because it's funny because we were like, let's talk about the ones that we loved. All right, let's start with the one that neither of us loved.
I'll say it has things going for it. I mean, it's about David Bowie.
Yeah. And I love David Bowie, which is why I love Brett Morgan and I love David Bowie. So I was like, done and done. Let's go see this doc. But it's, oh man, I don't even know. You have to be the biggest David Bowie fan, I think, ever to really, really dig this movie.
And I mean, even if you are a huge fan, then I think it probably left stuff out for you. It's just like, it's impressionistic. It's very arty. I guess you should have seen it on an IMAX. It was super loud when I saw it. But like, here's the thing. If I'm watching something about one of the most interesting people of our lifetime, and I'm like checking my watch during it.
Yes.
That's like not good. And that's, I think you and I both had that experience.
Yeah. Well, and I was also the only person in the theater. It was just me. And I am a people pleaser. So I wanted to leave so badly, but then I was like, they're playing this movie for me and I don't want to piss anybody off. Like literally I could not go. I wanted to leave. I kept falling asleep. It was in Santa Monica. I saw it in this like theater place in Santa Monica. And I felt like if I left, then the people at the counter that were selling popcorn and stuff would be like, dude, like this is on for you. Like you're it.
Yeah.
We're running this for you. So I sat through it. It was tough. It's long. Was it two and a half hours?
Yeah, it's long. It sort of like blends like some of his acting stuff with like you know, live footage. The live footage is great.
Yeah.
But I could also watch a live David Bowie concert recording and get that. The insight is kind of like, is this guy is sort of like a persona all the time? So are we really even getting his inner,
right,
his inner life at all? Sort of blur. I mean, there's stuff I learned about Bowie. So it's like, there's like some interesting stuff there, but
yeah,
It was for me, and I'll credit it. Like, it was an ambitious way to approach the material.
There you go. Let's do some like silver lining stuff.
Yeah, it's like a big swing. I like a big swing.
It's a big swing. Maybe the biggest swing that Brett has done, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, shit, we were there in his office when he was like, "Hey, lads, look what I'm working on." Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He was like, he had like a big Bowie book and he had like some paraphernalia out or something.
Well, he showed us his Final Cut Pro too, and was like, he was like already starting to edit and he had like thousands of tabs open.
Oh my God. I cannot imagine the editing process for this. It's so crazy.
It's so crazy, but it's visually a masterpiece. I mean, it's super visually appealing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're into just like normal doc storytelling, bio stuff, like I am, because I'm not that big. I do really love Bowie, but I'm not a huge Bowie fan. Then I was like, you know, but I listened to the Adrian Belew talk on What the Fuck with Marc Maron, WTF. Mm-hmm. And so fascinating. Adrian Belew, man. And he did talk a little bit about the Berlin time period and stuff in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, kind of. I just remember that's the part in Moon Age Daydream where I was starting to really wane. Like, I was like hour three, you know.
The Berlin period. Yeah. Like, it's like, could this easily. Okay. I'm usually not one to say, take something and make it a 7-part series, but you could totally do that with this material, yes. Right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It just wouldn't be the kind of, he's trying to make it like a pop song, right? Like that when Brett Morgan is approaching it, he's like, let's make it like sensory overload, a bunch of impressions, just kind of like compacting. Like, what is life? I mean, it actually, you know what? It reminded me a little bit of like how the Zappa movie has that the kind of like little like arc at the end.
Right.
But it's like stretching that out for an entire like 3-hour period.
True. I mean, and Brett Morgan's interview on WTF is really good as well. And they talk about this pretty exclusively. And it's interesting his thoughts on it and like, you know, he got no real pushback from the Bowie people, basically was just given carte blanche. And then he was like given like access to a ton of obviously tons of material and stuff that he could use. So it's very interesting. It's a very interesting way to go about it. I'd be surprised to see what kind of awards it picks up.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, like we said, like the editing is like a big chunk of this. I will say when I walked out of the theater, I ran into some people and then I told them about it and they're just like, didn't that guy get canceled? I'm like, that did not get mentioned at all.
Bowie?
There is some stuff about him with underage people. Yeah. And so like, of course it's not going to come up. I mean, I wouldn't expect it to come up in this, but I do wonder if that did affect like people's interest in this as a film.
Man, I don't think so, but
yeah,
I don't remember
it was kind of like softly spoken of after he died. Because like he is also like, you know, sort of the interesting stuff about like his sort of like queerness and like gender like blurring of boundaries and stuff, and like that stuff makes him sort of like this iconic, you know, mainstream figure that was like represented like bisexuality or something. But then it's like, well, there's still like some weird power dynamics and some stuff that was brought to light.
Right.
That, which is not like, of course, not going to make it into this film.
No,
it's not going to be part of it.
And yeah, no, it's not for sure. This was not the film that was doing that. This was a kind of more of a celebratory. Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't know that. It was like visually appealing, very long, loud. It was also really loud.
Very
when I
loud.
Saw very, yeah. Very loud. and I heard and read people I love on like Facebook were like, this is the best documentary to come out in a generation. Yeah, people loved it. So I was like, and they're all like, you have to see it in IMAX. You have to see it in a theater. So that's why I got a ticket. I, like I said, I was by myself in the theater.
I went by myself. There was maybe two other people in the Los Feliz three when I, where I saw it. And it was just like, it is like definitely one of the louder mixes of a movie.
Yeah.
I've seen in that theater.
For a documentary, you don't expect it, but, so there you go, folks. If, I would say this is my take on it. If you're just like, if David Bowie is like your dude, your ride and die, like this is my fucking rock and roll dude, then go see it. If you haven't seen it already, you know, because why not? But if I say, if you're on the fence, you don't have a spare 3 hours and you like more narrative. It feels
longer than 3 hours.
It really does. I left and I was a little like mind numbed. Like
Me too.
I felt a little flat in my head. I remember going back to my Airbnb and then texting a friend of mine and just being like, hey, it's because we always joke about being people pleasers. And I was like, I couldn't leave. I didn't know how to leave. I wanted to leave, but I actually just stayed.
Yeah, I felt like I needed to stick it through because I'm like, well, is it gonna turn somehow? Is there gonna be a payoff
of
this whole thing? And I'm also a people pleaser. I'm realizing, Paco, we're both people pleasers, which is why this podcast is still going. We don't know how many people we're pleasing. We know there's a few.
Well, also, like, you and I have tried to do, like, the Siskel and Ebert thing where, like, you're like, I hate it. And I'm like, I love it. And I hate it. And you're like, I love it. But that never worked because we're both like, let's talk just about the shit we like.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't feel qualified. It's also like having seen as many docs as we've seen.
Yeah.
You can't call anything like an abject failure or anything. I mean, like I said, it's super ambitious.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when I think about like the stuff he talked about about making the Jane Goodall thing.
Jesus. Yeah.
And like that, I'm going to bring that up. I'm going to bring Jane up later in this discussion, but you can't capture all the personality and it's impossible to do it. And he just basically tried to cram as much as he could in there. And, you know,
Bowie spanned like 4 or 5 decades. Like it's not easy to put everything in there and to do it also without any talking heads. Like it's a very masterful piece of filmmaking. It's visually appealing and it's really, really well edited and well done. It's just for our sake, too long and a little just mind numbing. Basically. Yeah.
I learned a little bit about the thing about his brother's mental illness. That was interesting.
Yeah.
Sort of like they throw in stuff about his marriage. And also like this period, I guess when he did like Modern Love and stuff, that was him like being like, I'm gonna go for the mass appeal.
Right. Yeah. It's time to cash in.
Yeah. So this is a thing of like, everything. Huh? Yeah.
I saw the Glass Spider tour. Did you ever see Bowie?
No, I never got to see him.
I saw him live and it was
Glass Spiders. Yeah.
Yeah. Horrible.
No, really?
Oh yeah. So bad. It was so bad. It was the keytar years, you know.
And like, okay.
I saw him in Joe Louis Arena, I think, in Detroit, and he was like this big. I'm holding up my fingers very small apart from each other. He was like a little ant on stage. Yeah. And this is like before the like giant, you know, monitors and stuff. Like,
oh yeah.
It just looks like this tiny person. It's like 87 or something.
Oh
like
wow.
That.
Okay. Weird period. That's like out of the Tin Machine era.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was like kind of the disco-y, rocky Bowie time period.
Honestly, like anything after Tin Machine, I did not really pay attention to. Like, right. I'm Afraid of Americans. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to the last album, which people like the last album, but.
Right. I didn't. I mean, I think almost my favorite thing that Bowie's done for me is when he was on Extras.
He's good on X. He did seem to have like an interesting sense of humor about himself. Oh, like, and also like the video art he was making that was just like, I did that in sixth grade. when you shove a camera in front of a monitor and you just make video feedback.
Yeah.
Right, he was doing that. Just like, yeah. I like to make my paintings. I like to make my chocolates. Just like, yeah. Like, dude, you're fucking rich and famous. Do whatever you want. Knock yourself out.
You get to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So again, if you're a big Bowie fan, go see it. You know, I think
we don't need to tell you've seen it. If you're a big Bowie fan,
yeah,
you're
probably.
See it.
And I don't know about the, you need to see it in the theater. I mean, I guess, I mean, if I had seen it at home and I could have paused it and come back and maybe given it a day and come back again or something, I might have a different, you know, feeling for it. It's literally the only movie I have seen since 2020 in a theater.
Oh, really?
That's it. Yeah.
Wow. I've done a few in theaters. I've even seen some docs in theaters.
Oh, wow.
But I like, yeah, that. Oh, gosh. The Free Jazz doc. Have we not talked about that?
No.
We don't need to.
Not good.
Let's save that for another talk.
Okay. Was at least Ornette Coleman involved?
Involved? Well,
I mean, not involved, but it talked about.
Yeah, yeah. It's like sort of the survey, which all interesting people that I'm interested in, but all like discombobulated in a certain like the just a rough go when everything is like a different kind of like film stock and like just a lot of talking head like this person is important for this reason
Roscoe Mitchell and whatnot. Yeah, it's hard when there's different film stock because it's like using different typographies on like a comedy flyer. You're just like, what is
different
happening
fonts. Yeah, different it fonts. Is it can be, I mean, if that's all you got, that's all you got, but like there's certainly it felt very, everything felt very cobbled together. So anyway, we like, let's say Moon Age Daydream, swing and a miss.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that's yeah. like how I would phrase it.
For but, the sub doc guys. Yeah. All right. Let's move
for
on.
Us, yeah.
Yep. Let's move on to Low Country.
Oh, Lordy. This Man. Story. Oh.
Yeah. The Murdoch. The Murdogs. Murdochs?
Murdoch. The Murdochs. Is it spelled like, yeah. It, but Alex is Alec and Murdaugh is Murdoch. So that's just how South Carolina rolls.
It is.
Did you know much about this case before starting this doc?
I did. And I had actually tweeted, I don't know, like 2 or 3 months ago, why has someone not made a documentary about this yet? Mm-hmm. And then someone had saw that and then retweeted it and put the link to that's how I found out about it. They're like, well, looks like they did. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. Shut the front door. I am so excited. Because it is wackadoo bonkers nuttiness. And that's the shit I live for. Weird Americana stuff. Weird Americana plus true crime is to me is like, that's my bread and butter stuff right there.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it is fulfilling that Venn diagram. For people that don't know anything about this case, the Murdoch family were basically the DA's prosecutors. For 100 years.
A century. In one county.
Hampton County, South Carolina. And also while they were the DAs, had a private practice law firm that was like personal injury law.
Right.
Like that alone.
Great grandfather, like son, like they owned this county as far as like the DAs and the head of the judicial branch of this county. There's one fucking family, and they had a get out of free jail card for a century basically. And not only that, but I didn't realize he was a Democrat. That actually surprised me. I just figured the family was old school Dixie Democrats that done a lot of like fundraising and campaign money contributions to the Democratic party in South Carolina, which is I found out because I posted about this. And then my buddy who I play basketball was like, I know these fuckers. I grew up in Hampton County. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And he actually went to school with the oldest kid and was like, I know these people. Yeah, Buster.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, he went to school with them. It was like, I know these fuckers, and this is the tip of the iceberg. This is just the shit that.
Did he have a theory about the Stephen Smith case?
Yeah, I mean, he just said it's all them. Like, yeah, he did, and which was they killed him. I mean, it's like everyone knows that they. I mean, this is allegedly, obviously, but
Yeah.
Like,
don't sue us.
Right. Right. But this is satire. But like the family's history of this kind of cover up, doing crimes and getting cover ups and getting out of jail free cards is like everyone knows you just can't fuck with these people.
Yeah. Like, it seems like they're okay. The number of people that die in this story,
it's insane.
Are, let's see, there is
spoiler alerts. We shouldn't mention.
Two, I'm not going to say who. I'll just say, well, people might know. If you don't know anything about this case, there's also a podcast about this case. Called The Murdoch Murders.
Okay.
Which this woman, Mandy Matney, who is the reporter who's been covering all this stuff, who also, like, you know, to be fair, she kind of seems like she knew a lot about this early on. Uh-huh. And she was talking about even the pronunciations of Murdoch and Alec and things like that. Like, why is it that way? I will say that podcast is very hard to listen to. Have you ever listened to the podcast?
No, I hadn't. I didn't even know about it.
Just for the practical reason of, like, the way that they, here's my pet peeve about this podcast is, like, they're reading off a script.
Yeah.
But then they just cut the recording, like, every sentence. So basically every sentence sounds like she's starting a brand new sentence. It's really, whoa. Does that make sense? It's like super distracting. No. If you imagine like an entire script where every time someone starts, they're like launching into like an introductory level volume of their cadence. So right. This is like me being like whatever persnickety about it. But like, yeah, she did a lot. Like, this podcast is truly like a small budget, like local news podcast that became like one of the top podcasts in the country because people are obsessed with the story.
Yeah, it's, the story is insane. Well, I mean, you have the big Camelot family of this area, rich, powerful, dynastic, and the craziest shit just starts happening to them, like including their shithead little son that goes out boating. And I mean, so we're just going to assume you guys have watched it at this point, I guess. But if not, pause and come back. I don't know. But like, the youngest kid kills a friend in a boating accident. And a lot of this is on tape. A lot of this.
Dude, well, that's the thing. Cause I listened to the podcast. So I had heard some of these 911 calls and stuff.
Yeah.
I had not seen that they had footage of like the boat crash or any of like surveillance footage of these underage kids going and getting wasted and like getting beers. And it's like, oh, you know, they're going to get on a boat at the end of the night. So
boating at dark, in the dark, while wasted, and everyone's yelling at each other. And then they hit a pier, but they actually hit one of the bridge
pylons.
Thank you. And then, unfortunately, a young lady dies and it's fucking heartbreaking. It's so sad. And then like you see video of them in the hospital and then the dad showing up and grandpa and then being like, you know, hey, you don't hear anything. But then later on, you find out that they're basically going to other people that were involved in this and being like, this is what you need to say. You were driving, you know.
Yeah.
You won't get in any trouble if you say you were driving.
The fucking shit these people pull.
I know.
The worst is like, this has happened multiple times in here where they're like trying to like be like, hey, we can get a lawyer for you. And it's clearly a lawyer that they have a connection with and owes them something.
Right.
And it's like, these are like, you're basically like, you're competing with each other. You can't have like a lawyer that's like partnering with the plaintiff or whatever. It's just like insane.
Yeah, it's insane, dude.
It's taking advantage of people that don't have any, you know, resources or like experience with the system.
Well, it's also so when you're in shock, when your kid has been in a boating accident where someone dies, you really just want people to swoop in and tell you what to do, you know, because you don't know what the fuck's going on. So if you have someone that you say, like, these were like family friends, or like, I was friends, I played softball, I coached softball with this guy, you know, I coached baseball with this guy and I trusted him, and they take fucking advantage of that, because as a lawyer, you've been in these emergency situations before with other clients. So you kind of know what to do, you know, mm-hmm. They just swoop in and they start telling people what to say, how to feel. And it's so gross. Like, that youngest kid, so gross. All is like smiling and like,
oh God. Yeah. He's well, so him, the youngest then, kid,
right.
Paul.
Yes.
And his mother, blanking on the name, RIP.
Right.
RIP, the two of them. They both get murked. They get murdered. like gangland execution style.
Yes.
In 2021 during COVID.
Yeah.
They get murdered.
They get fucking murdered in their dog kennel
with two different weapons.
Yes.
And so that's not good.
That's not good. No,
it's not good.
Two different weapons. And one of them, the one guy was saying that someone stood over the missus and shot her like multiple times.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause like it seemed very personal, which is then like, what? And oh, and then, oh my God, this doc is insane. You guys, it's on HBO. Oh, we've got to mention that. It's on HBO. So if you have HBO, definitely, if you're into true crime, weird Americana stuff, definitely watch this. Cause it hits every, it's insane. It's only a three parter too, which is,
yeah,
nice.
Thank God.
Right. I know. Three, I can live with these days. Five or more, unless it's like The Fucking Staircase or Making a Murder, which I believe are masterpieces, then I can watch those. But none of these docs are masterpieces anymore. They throw them together way too fast.
Oh my gosh. And also, so did you notice like it's like made by like a European, like I think maybe Germans made it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like when you hear their interview style.
Right.
Like, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of like, you know, when Herzog goes into the South, it's just sort of like,
right,
just even more like maybe they did need like some foreign filmmakers, because it's just like they're just like looking at America with this like, you know, lens of like
dispassionate.
This is a true, truly right. vile
right.
underbelly of the American South. It's just like unfortunate that it just paint the whole, you know, to paint that way. But it is part of what the appeal of this thing is. It's like this hillbilly Fargo shit.
Well, I just remember when the wife and the son were murdered. That's when I first came into the story.
Oh, and really? That's when you first heard about it.
Yeah, because the whole rumor was is that he was killed because he killed that girl in the boat.
Oh, right. Mission. Like they thought it was
retribution. Act. This was vengeance. And because the family had been so in charge, it was like somebody was like giving them a payback, and then the mom just got in the way, like she just happened to be there by mistake and got killed as well.
Yeah.
So that's when I first got, and then as I started watching the story, the housekeeper came up.
Yeah.
So that part, then I was like, wait, okay, so now there's another death in
we're just getting started, Paco.
I know, it's crazy. And like, I mean, I'm not young. I've been around this planet for a long time. I don't have any murders in my family or my life. Like some people have many, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's what's crazy. And again, like Michael in The Staircase, like he didn't have just one wife that died from falling down the stairs. He had two.
This is very, yeah, this is good Staircase vibes for sure. But also there is like another, the other son that we don't hear much about. He's got a possible accusation against him for like a, kind of like a gay bashing murder, which is also implied that he was maybe having a romantic relationship with this kid, and then like whatever, like maybe gets a gang of guys together and just kills this kid.
Yeah,
that's
that
implication.
One. Yeah, that's the one I had never heard about. Like I had.
Oh, you hadn't heard about that. That's no. talked about in the podcast for sure.
Okay. Yeah,
the Stephen Smith stuff.
Yeah. I did some deep dives, and I never heard about the Stephen Smith.
Really?
Case. Not at all. I didn't even know. And I knew about the housekeeper, the wife, the boat, the son. That was it. I didn't hear about that. So when I watched this doc, that was completely new to me.
Yeah.
And so that's extremely sad.
Yeah, it's a very sad story. It's a very, really sad overall. This is just a sad, like,
but also fuck this guy.
Fucking this guy, personal injury attorney.
Yeah.
Created a fuck. Is this spoiling if I get into like what
no,
he did?
No, do it.
Oh my God. So this was new to me. I didn't know about all this stuff. Like when his own housekeeper dies, he says he's going to help out her kids.
Fuck this guy.
Sets
man.
Up a fucking DBA that looks like it's an insurance settlement thing. And he pockets the money.
Pockets the fucking money.
Like 700 grand or something. And like gives him like a pittance, gives him like $4,000.
Right.
Out of that. And then it turns out he's been doing this
forever.
Yeah. If he gets convicted of all of the fraud charges, not to count the actual murder charges,
right?
That's like 500 years.
Yeah. And he deserves it, man. And to what? Maybe pay for his opioid addiction?
And how is this dude still alive? This is the part that when I learned about this part, I was like, what? there was not enough focus on this.
Right.
He pays like his friend to shoot him in the head. Fucking does, and he doesn't die.
He misses. Oh my god. And
this guy has not been Epstein yet. This is not not like killed himself yet.
And I think his trial is in 2023, like March or something, isn't it? It's early spring.
To watch that like receding red hairline just go down to like a gray nub.
Yeah.
Weirdly satisfying.
Yeah. Fuck this guy, man. What a piece of shit. So let's see, how do I put this? So the balance between the filmmaking and the story, it's like the story is an 8, the filmmaking's like a 5, you know?
Yeah, it does feel perfunctory. And it's like, they're like, we need to cash in on this while it's still going. But like, there is like fucking onion layers to still be unveiled about this family. There is like, if there can be a Vow part 2, there can definitely be a part 2 Low Country. Right.
Yeah.
Because there's so much more that's going to come out about these people.
There is.
For sure.
Well, and the one defense attorney that they talked to.
Oh my God, that guy.
That guy. He has no love for any of these people, which he shouldn't, you know.
Oh, you don't think he does?
No.
He seemed he lets them go hunting on his property and stuff.
Oh no! I was talking about the
other side. Prosecuting.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I said defense. Yeah. You're right. The prosecuting side.
The guy defense attorney is a piece of shit too.
Yes.
Honestly.
Yes. Yes. Oh. Yeah. I'm sorry. I misspoke. The other side guy who is like has the receipts. Yeah. He's like, and then this. Like he's representing all those families.
Yeah.
It's insane. So well,
there's still open questions I have about it all, but
wonder if we should do a full episode on just this doc.
We gotta find someone else who's like deep in this case because like
that would be fun.
I mean, I was following it, then I kind of dropped off. I just heard he got they arrested him. I remember when they arrested him. That was big news when they arrested him.
Yeah, it was huge.
So yeah, the filmmaking is like I was like waiting for a bigger payoff at the end, but it's like, nope, this dude's just in jail awaiting further trial. And we don't actually know about how the wife and son were killed. And also, like, we don't know. Oh, they don't even talk about, like, his brothers. Like, there was, like, a thing in, like, maybe 2020 or, like, ABC News did a thing where they, like, were interviewing his brothers because they're still part of the law firm.
Oh, right.
When, like, in that in-between period when he put out like a reward for help me find my wife and son's killers.
Yeah.
And then when he ends up being shot, quote unquote shot, then the brothers, everyone backs away. He loses his job. He's like, I have an opioid addiction. I'm like, well, that doesn't explain all of this.
Right.
At all. I think you need to, the opioid addiction doesn't explain the full fraud you were doing
your
actual people that were going to you like he imagine like all these like personal injury attorneys that we see like bus ads for all the time. Favorite down here is there's a guy called Sweet James for some reason, like sweetjames.com. If you're in a car accident, like, well, I'm in a car accident because I looked at your fucking billboard and I hit someone. These guys, it's just like one of these guys who also is like his family runs the whole county. It's insane. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So this is now I'm looking at this site right now that has a chronological updates on him. Okay. And so.
Yeah.
December 16th of just 2 weeks ago, a grand jury indicts Murdaugh on 9 counts of tax evasions. Allegedly, he failed to pay almost $487,000 in state income taxes while making nearly $14 million over 9 years. With the latest indictment, the total financial related charges against Murdaugh are more than 100. And then December 20th, just a week ago, state prosecutors announced they will seek life in prison without parole if Murdoch's double murder trial, allowing him to avoid the death penalty if convicted. So
let him live out his shitty remaining years in prison, as I say.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Fuck this guy. Okay, so I definitely would recommend you, if you have HBO, check it out. It's called Low Country, The Murdoch Dynasty.
Yeah.
What do you think, George? You think
like as a three-parter, it covers all the ground it needs to cover.
It's a quick watch too. It goes fast. Like, it's so compelling because of just all the fucking nuttiness.
Yeah.
It's not like a slow drag kind of thing.
I mean, I was like, did Aaron Lee Carr do this? Because it sort of has like some of the trademarks of stuff she'd be interested in.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, I hear these German interviewers.
Right. You hear their
It's like, that's, it makes it more of the freak show element comes out, I think, a little bit.
Right.
But it is a freak show. It is a fucking freak show. These people are and like the worst of the worst.
If you're highly involved with this story and want to do a full episode with us, let us know.
If you're highly involved, like you are, if you've had your money taken by Al
right, yeah, that'd be even more amazing. Or maybe we could get the lady that does that podcast to come on.
Mandy
ours.
Matney, if you're listening, I'm sorry what I said about your editing style.
Forget all that. Now we've lost Brett Morgan. Let's keep.
No one's listening, Paco. What are you talking about?
We're
people pleasers, man. We can't. It's harder for us to say anything negative about anything, but we are people pleasers. All right, let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And we'll come right back with more Doc Talk.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. Thank you guys for listening to Sup Doc. This is our year in review wrap up. Some of the docs we've watched. I watched Pelosi on HBO, which, man, you know,
her daughter, right?
Yeah.
Who has an HBO deal.
Yes, made by her daughter.
Surprise. Speaking of nepotism.
Nepo babies.
Speaking of dynasties.
Yeah, really. For real. It was good, though. I liked it.
Okay.
And I mean, I'm just going to say it. It's weird. It's almost like a pejorative, but I've been mostly a centrist Democrat my entire life. So, like, people like Pelosi and Biden and those kind of people are kind of ring my bell, if you will. So I've always liked Pelosi. I've always been a fan. She's been my representative since I've lived in San Francisco, which is 25 years. So I liked the documentary. I thought it was well made. It's really interesting about the part, you know, with the J6 insurrection, where she comes from, how she got to be speaker, how powerful she is, how brilliant she's been in that position. And so if you're into politics and you're into, like, you know, I mean, you could probably watch, there's a lot of Pelosi haters too that I'm sure might want to watch it, but it probably won't be as great if you.
When did this drop? Does this drop after or before the Paul Pelosi hammered attack thing?
I think this dropped before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's like got to be an addendum. That's like.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Which is, that's a whole other fucking thing. I believe this came out before. That's a really good question. I don't really know, but I think it came out before.
But Alexandra Pelosi is a director.
Yeah.
So yeah, and she's an impressive lady. I've not seen the film. I've not seen it's wait, this is just a one part thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank goodness for that. I will I will watch this. That sounds like enough reason to watch this. Yeah. She's done a lot of stuff.
She
impressive
has.
Lady.
Yeah.
I would say I'm maybe more left than you are, but I'm not gonna be, you know, she was good at her job.
Yeah. The yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Actually it's called Pelosi in the House. So sorry, mm-hmm. everybody.
She stepped down and like have you heard much about the guy replacing her? Cause like I heard listening to the Daily did a thing on the guy who's replacing her as the leader.
You mean Hakeem Jeffries?
Yes, yes.
I mean, I know a little about Hakeem Jeffries. I know that he's young and he's very energetic and he's more of definitely seems more of a fighter. Pelosi seemed to be more of a vote counter and a mm-hmm. conciliatory person and like, you know, old school politics is kind yeah. of Pelosi's things. Hakeem Jeffries is from cut from a new cloth, that much I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's, but he's sort of traditional in the sense that he is like not down with the, you know, the young upstarts in the rest of the, like, you know, your AOCs and stuff. Like,
yeah.
There's definitely some conflict there, which is yeah. like why he's like, you know, seems like a good, I'm not a good, like he, consistent to, you know, follow right. through.
Yeah. yeah. Well, he's also be like the first Black person to lead a major political party in Congress. So nice. that's pretty awesome. And he's like, what, 30 plus years younger than Pelosi? You know, he's young. So.
This is what, this is like, it's great to like pay tribute to these people, but like also like, yeah, we need young people in the party yeah, for dude, sure.
The boomers have got to go.
Yeah.
The boomers have got to go. And we're starting to crack that now. Okay. So Pelosi, HBO, I liked it. It's a yeah. casual watch. It's just, it's like 100 minutes or something, a little mm-hmm. over 90 minutes. So give it a shot.
All right. I will, speaking of boomers, mm-hmm. did you watch Senior?
Oh, on Netflix? No, I haven't yet.
Okay. So I did end up watching this. It's a film made by Robert Downey Jr. about his father, the underground filmmaker, Robert Downey, who I guess is now known as Robert Downey Sr. because yes. Robert Downey Jr. is one of the most famous dudes in the world.
Right.
And even though it's actually like, so it's like Downey's shooting it and kind of directing it. And then midway through, his dad kind of like starts making his own version of the film. So there's sort of like
weird.
He, cause like he basically has someone following the dad. The dad starts directing and like kind of like, being like, oh, you know, you should do that again. Do that scene again. Let's yeah. oh, follow me to the park. And so basically he's like, okay, I'm making two different cuts of this movie now.
Interesting. Is his dad still alive?
Well, so that he passed during COVID. Huh. But I think he had maybe he had something. I want to say, I don't think he had Parkinson's. He was starting to, he was, you can see as the footage goes, like from him getting less mobile and being more like shaky and stuff. But Chris Smith is, I guess, producer on this.
Oh, weird.
And so it's all in black and white. Even when there is like, you know, footage from the films that's still in black and white, you know. So right. It's like an intentional arty approach to this.
Right, right, right.
But yeah, it ended up being kind of like, I had only seen Putney Swope. I think most people I've talked to have only seen Putney Swope out of all of Robert Downey's yeah. movies. But Putney Swope was amazing. And I didn't really know the breadth of stuff he'd done or how he'd really come out of this sort of weird theater New York under, like, it's like not even, it's not like avant-garde cinema. It's like kind of like very like slapsticky and like, you know, jokey. Right. But like it's just like so like confrontational, like the films themselves. Huh. So it's like it is like partly like, hey, I want to make a thing about my dad, and then because not enough people know about his work, then it is also like, well, you know, the relationship, and there's like a lot of stuff, you know, obviously drugs were a big part of Robert Downey Jr.'s life.
Oh yeah.
And like he would like smoke pot with his parents when he was like 12 or whatever. So there's this sort of thing where he's like, I think he's trying to like come to terms with some of that stuff. Like, do you like the stuff his dad did having an impact on him? They end up having a really good relationship in the end. It's like, I don't think you have to be a huge fan of either of them to get something out of it. And as we're, I think I was going to mention the Zappa doc has a little bit of that flavor,
right?
Of like, just like, well, this is kind of just about mortality also. And like, your, what is your legacy? And, you know, fathers and sons. So it's, I think a pretty, I wouldn't say it's a required watch by any means, but I enjoyed it. And I think you would get something out of it.
1 to 10, what would you give it?
I'd give it like a 7. For that's me, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's really kind good. Of yeah.
I kind of like, you know, curve down usually.
Right.
But yeah,
right,
senior, enjoyable. Yeah, you learn a little bit about this sort of weird underground New York art, like film world, and like the most famous dude who played Iron Man. So yeah.
Right. Yeah. Who's now vegan or something?
Oh, I don't know about that. He's, yeah, I mean, yeah, he's, I mean, he had Sherlock Holmes and all the Marvel movies going at the same time. He was running like two franchises at once.
For a guy whose people thought his career was over a long time ago.
Oh my gosh. But I'm like, think of, like, he was so good so early on. Did you ever see Chaplin?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So good. He's so good in Chaplin.
Yeah. He's super good. And speaking of people who have passed on recently from Doc World, Mike Shank and Chris Smith.
Oh, yeah, R.I.P. Mike Shank.
Yeah, from American Movie, one of Chris Smith's first documentary and one of the best to ever do it. R.I.P. to Mike. He passed on this year. I watched Stutz on Netflix about Phil Stutz, the famed psychotherapist. And that was really, really fascinating. I have to say, it's not what I expected at all. Like, Jonah Hill interviews his therapist, his psychiatrist.
Right.
And it is unique is a word I would use for, did you see it at all?
Well, so my wife was watching it, so I didn't see it. She told me a little bit about it and I haven't gotten into it. I did want to say we have a weird SupDoc connection.
Yeah.
Indirectly
you wrote that in the notes. I didn't. I read that book.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
The Tools. Did you get a lot out of it?
Years ago. Yeah, I did. I listened I'm sorry to interrupt, but it was on Mark Maron's podcast, which is my all-time favorite podcast. Someone, a comedian was on there and they were talking about Michaels and Stutz and how they like are the therapist to the stars.
Yeah.
And they wrote this book. And I ordered the book and read it.
Well, so Hannah Michaels, who we had on the show years ago, early on, both her parents are therapists. She has a joke actually about how her dad was OJ's therapist.
Oh man.
So, but Phil Stutz and Barry Michaels, wrote The Tools, which is apparently,
I didn't know that was her dad.
Day. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, but I have not seen Stutz. You know, Angie was telling me about how it's like, you expect it to be like, kind of like this, like Jonah Hill sort of being vulnerable, but it's still like a performance kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is Stutz's, is it getting his biography or just like, kind of like how he works or what?
No, it's really hard to put in words. It's basically Jonah. It's if you could sit down with your therapist after years of going to therapy and just pal around with them with a film crew and be like, what'd you think of me when you first met me? You know, to your therapist, was I as crazy as you thought I was? And like,
I never want to do that.
Yeah. So at one point, Jonah Hill has a cardboard cutout of him when he was well into the 300s, like 300 pounds and more. Uh-huh. And he's like sitting with it. And it's obviously he's much younger and he's much thinner now. And they just talk about when he first came in, he was overweight and he has his mom come in at some point as well. And then they break down the scenery from like first person POV to they break down the fourth wall. It's really weird. It's really interesting though. It's visually interesting.
It does that for some reason, like, it's making me think you would like Senior also. If, like, there's also scenes where, like, Robert Downey is like talking to his therapist on Zoom.
Okay.
And like, so it's like celebrities, therapists, family stuff, like,
right,
inner psychology. Well, would you say it's a recommend watch, Stutz?
No. I mean, okay. I wouldn't, I've not recommended it to anyone. I did have a friend who's been in therapy for like 30 years and he said, hey, have you seen it? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I loved it. He's like, I watched it twice just to get more out of it. It's not one that if I was at a party, let's say this is the parameter. You're at a party and someone says, what did you watch lately? It's not one. I would tell them about Low Country. I wouldn't tell them about Stutz.
Right. But right.
Yeah. It seems like more, it's a very personal thing because I think it has to do with therapy, but yeah. I mean, it was interesting, but.
Okay, cool. I'm probably gonna not watch it then based on that.
I think what's crazier is that we interviewed Hannah Michaels and her dad co-wrote The Tools, which is,
yeah, I feel like she talked about it a little bit, but like I wasn't familiar with the book at all. But yeah,
well, I wasn't at the interview though.
No,
I wasn't part of it, and you guys did it in my apartment.
Yeah, right? We didn't meet in your apartment. That's true. Yeah.
That's funny.
Do you want to talk about Last Chance U?
I love this whole series. I will see. I've already on Christmas. People are like, "What have you?" So I literally just recommended this. But the guy I was talking to was a big basketball fan. I love Last Chance U on Netflix. I think it's a wonderful series. It's about JUCO. It's about junior college kids who have a chance to redeem themselves back in junior college, to go back to Division I or Division II colleges that they've been basically kicked out of because of grades or attitude or violations of something. They're really well shot. They're really, really well shot and edited. And it's either they go from different junior colleges around the country, and it's both based basketball and football.
Oh, okay.
This last one is in East LA Community College, which was also last season they were there as well. And I think they're in like Riverside. I don't even really know where East LA Community College is, but they're like a basketball powerhouse. But I just love sports. I love biography stuff, and I love a good comeuppance, and you know, so Last Chance U has all of that, and there's some tear drinking moments, and it's great. I really love the series.
How many seasons has this been on? It's been on for a while, right?
I think 6 or 7. Yeah.
Oh wow. So every season's a different school.
Almost. Last season was East LA Community College as well, but before that they were in like Kansas, and yeah, so they're kind of all over the place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I have not dug into it because for me sports stuff has to have one other thing to it, but
yeah,
I you know, it's so it sounds like a good, you know, just like it's a place where people can break out of like the class structure.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and they have a chance at like real money and real future in professional sports, or even even less than that is like they have a chance of getting their GED. They have a chance of going to a like a polytechnical school and studying engineering, or, you know, it's a lot of these kids are poor. They come from, you know, less than backgrounds, and it's a chance for them to help give themselves a future through sports, you know?
Yeah. And but so it's also, like, you can watch it and think about like how do we get to this place where it's like these are the only opportunities for people.
Well, and it's also, they had bigger opportunities, but they squandered them. And this is their last chance. Like, it's also that is like their hopes and dreams are on the ropes. And a lot of them still can't get over that inner rage that they exhibited before, but their coach is saying like, hey, you know, you're a grown up and this is your last chance, you know, it's really compelling. I really dig it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Last Chance You. I want to talk briefly about Fire of Love, which I just finished. Had you heard anything about this, Paco?
Just from you. Yeah. Just from you.
It's like, for some reason, just hitting my feed constantly. It was like,
okay,
you want to see a documentary about French volcanologists narrated by Miranda July, right? I'm like, yeah, I guess I do. But right. It's on Disney Plus of all things, which is bizarre. So this was apparently like a hugely talked about film at Sundance, and actually got like a 7-figure deal, which is rare for a documentary, right? Like,
wow.
Yeah. So Fire of Love is about two French volcanologists who were a couple who met in the 60s, and they actually died doing what they loved, which was running up to volcanoes.
Whoa.
And it's not exactly the way that it didn't go down the way that I would have thought based on some of the footage. There's footage of them like going right up to volcano, you know, frying an egg on a volcano rock, like wow. Just bonkers stuff. The Crafts, they're named Maurice and Katya Craft. And this is a film made by Sarah Dosa, who I believe is a Bay Area filmmaker. I've not seen any of her other films. I'm definitely going to go check it out. And it's like, it is like, it does, someone's compared it to like a Wes Anderson movie, and it does kind of have a little bit of that whimsical thing. It's like, you know, this explorers in the 70s. But as I was watching it, I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to like this as much as I thought I was going to like it. But then just like the footage, because they're also like, they're filmmakers. They're like scientists who by default ended up being filmmakers. And they're just as like obsessed with like just the beauty of nature and like the sort of like the crazy, like how do human beings even get along on Earth? Like, right. You know, like how do we get along with the planet? Like, this is a planet that just wants to kill us,
right?
You know? And the footage is amazing. There's some interesting like animation. I would say the music usage is really stylized.
Yeah.
It's a very stylized film, right?
Well,
it's not as dry as you might think a movie about two scientists,
right? And it's like, if a 7-figure budget, you would hope that it wouldn't be too dry.
Well, I don't know if the budget was that. It's just like, I think the deal they got.
Oh, okay. I see.
But yeah, the footage, the editing is really good. I mean, because you had to piece together all this stuff. Are you familiar with Miranda July at all?
Mm-mm, no.
Did you ever see the movie Me and You and Everyone We Know?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the person who made this.
Okay.
And her voice is sort of... It's like sort of twee in a certain way, and but everything's loaded with a sort of like artiness. So it's like it's aesthetically pleasing film, I would say.
Yeah,
and it's about mortality also. Like, we're thinking about like some of these other things we've talked about, like Senior or even Pelosi or Stutz. You know, like from Moonage Daydream. Like, it's like you're thinking about your legacy sort of, but they're also just like. It does remind me of Jane. When I was thinking about Jane, when I mentioned Jane, Brett Morgan's movie about Jane Goodall.
Right.
Some of like this sort of like man against nature elements, or just like what is human nature, does come up in this. Like, fascinating stuff. Like, I didn't know that like these volcanoes, like Mount St. Helens or whatever, they're super destructive, but then the soil they leave behind is like insanely fertile, which is like, I guess why like in Hawaii, like, you know, there's all this crazy foliage and stuff,
right?
It's like it create, it's like destruction and rebirth.
Yeah, that's interesting. I do know, like, the poster, the box art or whatever, is very compelling. I've seen it a bunch, and I'm always like, God, that looks interesting. I kind of want to watch it.
Yeah, because like, think about, they're like, they're going to watch a volcano. They have to wear these like crazy like metal cones over their tops of their heads that don't even have a face covering. It's just open faced. But like, when you're standing by the volcano, fucking chunks of rock are like landing on you.
Jesus, that's nuts.
Oh,
thanks.
It is. Yeah. Is it very much a no thanks?
Right.
Like, I'm not, I haven't watched that mountain climbing movie that won the Oscar a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I'm the fear of heights. I'm not down, but like, this was the footage is, I don't even like that much nature stuff, but this like sort of like contextualized with everything.
Didn't
but,
Werner Herzog make a volcano?
He made a volcano. I've not seen his volcano movie.
No. Right.
Okay. But this is like, also, it's like, they're like, it's a love story. It's like kind of like a three-way love story. It's like two people that like fell in love, but were obsessed with the same thing.
Uh-huh. That's okay. Would, and you would recommend this? Cause now I want to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. I would recommend this. It's Disney Plus. I mean, I had to take a little break, a lot of subtitles, cause most of it's in French, except for the narration. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. Also, as I'm seeing on other, like on IndieWire, this is like in their front runners for Oscar nominations. I hadn't seen a lot of the films that are up for Oscar nominations this year, but yeah, people are tossing around Fire of Love and Moon Age Daydream. So we'll see if those make it to the Oscars.
I bet they will. Awesome. Well, I just started watching Light and Magic on Disney Plus, so it's really good. I love it. If you go to the Pixar section.
Okay.
I believe it's in the Pixar section.
Oh, yeah, like, no, it's like in that's the, a brand. Is it about Pixar?
No, it's about Industrial Light and Magic. So it's yeah, I think it's in the Star Wars section actually. But it's a documentary based on like how it became ILM.
Oh,
like,
sick. Oh,
yeah, it's really, really good. I've only watched the first episode and I was already hooked. Because I'm like, this is right up my alley. Just a bunch of like creative dudes being like, we need to invent a camera to shoot this weird ass toy we just made. So they're like, all right, we need to make that camera now.
Oh, right. I will check that out. I'm just finishing up Andor. So that will be the next thing.
There you go. Into.
Well, by the way, have you seen Andor?
I have not. No.
So this is a bizarre thing about Andor. Like my friends that are also documentary heads really liked Andor. They're like, this is like the best Star Wars thing. It's made by the guy who made Michael Clayton.
Oh.
So it's kind of weirdly about, it's like the most adult Star Wars thing there is. It's kind of about like the bureaucracy of the Empire.
Oh, wow.
Like you think it's going to just be like all, yeah, more shoot 'em up rebel stuff.
Right.
But it's also like deeply about like the banality of evil. Like, like the sort of like you know, people that think they're doing the right thing are like working for the Empire and like, right. You know, like they basically it's like it's the most like anti-prison, like maybe wow. Like, you know, actually like what was it like to live in a space before this sort of revolt happens?
Interesting. Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah,
well, I just got Disney Plus 4 days ago. So
hell yeah. Get into Andor. Let's talk. Yeah. We'll have a discussion about Andor.
That'd be awesome. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Do you have any other docs?
There's stuff I want to see that's coming out. Oh my God. There's something on Amazon Prime called Wildcat that I've heard of. I watched the trailer. It's this okay. British soldier who has PTSD. He ends up like going to like help rehabilitate this like orphaned ocelot. Whoa. To like enter back into the wild. But like, basically it's his PTSD's therapy is like helping untame this, like, you know, this ocelot.
Oh, wow.
And ocelot's very cute and it looks really intense and like it's gonna be pretty
is
dramatic.
It out? Oh, no,
it's on Amazon Prime, so it's called Wildcat, came out this year. Just watched the trailer, heard something about it on I think KPCC, and like, yeah, that sounds like something I would watch.
Yeah, it looks like December 30th. It's on Prime.
Oh, it's not there yet. Okay, so yeah it'll be out just tomorrow. Yeah. Well, when you hear this, it'll be out.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, when you hear this, it'll be out for sure. That's awesome. I don't.
What about
know
you? Any trailers for anything striking you?
No, I don't think so. I'm just kind of back dipping my toes back into the doc world. So, not that I can remember.
Yeah, are you using Tubi? I'm hearing that Tubi has like a really good option.
Oh, nice.
Docs.
No, I
Canopy
am
and Tubi, I think, are like people don't talk in the same breath about those as the Netflix and HBOs, or now Disney Plus getting into this doc game.
Right.
But yeah, a Tubi is, I believe, you can watch stuff for free.
Awesome.
So yeah.
And I do want to mention, because I just figured out and I'm pretty proud of myself, there is now on our website, you can go with one click, you can see all of our past episodes. Something I've been trying to figure out for a while is how to display that thing. And I finally figured it out. So you go to our homepage, supdocpodcast.com. You'll see the last four or five episodes, and then there's a all episodes button. And then you can look to your heart's content and listen to all of our back catalog.
That's great.
200 episodes.
I know, we're so close to 200. We're getting very close to 200.
Very close.
Knock on wood, we'll get there in 2023.
Yeah.
All right. Paco, good catching up with you.
Yes.
Talking docs as we do.
We do that. We're the doc talking dudes.
And you got some Sketchfest shows coming up?
Oh, yeah, I do. January 22nd, Sunday, January 22nd, I'll be at Cobb's with Mr. Todd Berry.
Nice.
In his stadium tour.
Todd.
Yeah. How about yourself?
And then I'm doing Sketchfest February 2nd, which is a Thursday, a piano fight.
Awesome.
With Talkies. Chad Uppitz is going to be on that one too. And I'll be sticking around town doing maybe one or two other shows that weekend. So that's cool. My SF dates.
Let's do some SupDoc interviewings.
Yeah, let's grab someone while we're there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Happy New Year to you, sir. And hope for the everything's going to be great in 2023.
Onward to 2023.
Yes, sir. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Thanks for listening. You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com. Our theme music was written by David Siegel. Donate to the show through our Patreon page, patreon.com/supdocpodcast. If you want to help out in other ways, please share this show with a friend. Find Paco and George's comedy gigs on the About Us page on our site. SupDoc is by doc fans for doc fans. So if you want to advertise, got a film, or opinions to share, hit us up. Email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.